I'd like to call the meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors to order. Thank you all for coming this evening. Stand and join Director Gray.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Leet.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Moving on to public comment. I have one card here. Carrie Anne.
Good evening. I'm back again. Kind of one thing for me. I'm talking about the speed around here and the stop signs. I'm also going to talk from a statement that Greg Baldwin had asked me to present because he's home from a hip surgery. And he says he's laying on the couch and he's constantly observing speeders on my street and no enforcement efforts. He says, with property taxes due in the next 10 days, how would the county treat me if I chose not to pay them? Should I expect to be treated in the same manner as the county sheriff, CHP, is treating the issue of lawlessness currently ongoing on my street? Thanks. Okay, so that was Greg. Mine is, they did a speed survey here, and I wasn't present last month when they went through all the stuff. I have been in contact with Mr. Swan, the traffic safety engineer, and it was great that they did the survey and all that stuff, but they did the one on Discovery Bay Boulevard down here in 40 mile an hour, rather in the residential area where, I mean, my complaint's been for years down there. They did it on Willow Lake, Clipper, Newport, and all the racetrack places, but they didn't do it in the 25 mile an hour Discovery Bay area, which I don't quite understand that. The orange signboard that's around here saying what the speed limit is, it's great. It's an informational board. Some people slow down when they go by it. Some people look at it and just keep right on going, like it doesn't make any difference to them what the speed limit is supposed to be. It would be great if we could get some kind of recording device put into that machine. We've got the machine. All we need to do is figure out how to pay for it. I don't know what it costs. Maybe somebody up here can work on that with P6. Maybe get some funds, which would show, or it would have a record of the speed and the time of day. So, which might be informational for CAP and sheriff, rather than go park over on a street which isn't fast, to park on a street that is fast between the hours of wherever the speed is. The stop signs, I think, ought to be kind of had some more work put on it, like, you don't have to. No. Because nobody does. I mean, it's rolling stops. It's kind of scary. Right up here, you got folks to get in the left-hand turn lane and go straight. So it's nuts. To place a car on a street by CHP or sheriff or whatever it is, or even the county, that looks official, everybody's going to slow down. They can smell them. They just slow down. So I don't know if any of you guys live on any of these racetrack streets, but maybe you can just go sit on one day and just see what goes on. On my high speed, it starts in at 4:30 in the morning, goes all day. And the later it gets at night, the faster it gets. So thank you very much for your time, and see you next month.
Thank you, Terry.
Could I ask a question? What specific street are you referencing that you're on?
Well, I live on Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Okay. And the other?
And Greg lives on Discovery Point.
Okay. And if there was time there, what time would someone be out there?
Well, I don't know about Greg Street. He says it's all day long because it's plopped on the couch. is looking out the window.
Thank you.
Mine starts at 4:30 in the morning and it goes all day, so.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to the consent calendar.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is my first meeting. I'm not sure what the procedure is and I apologize.
Please step to the microphone.
Thank you. This will be very brief. I've been a resident, it's my first meeting, but I lived here on and off for the last 15 years. I've noticed we have a corner on Newport and Berkshire, which I believe belongs to Mr. Hoffman. And it's an empty lot and it's a fenced around. However, the covering on the fence is falling off because of the storms lately and is extremely unsightly. And so we're wondering if there is something that's going to be done about contacting Mr. Hoffman. Also, the grass is overgrown. And I don't know if anything's going to happen with that lot. I'd be interested to find out.
The weed issue is a fire department issue, and they work on it throughout the year, so they'll eventually get to it. Kevin. With regard to the fence, we can have a general manager check with all the see what their plans are.
Yeah, because I've noticed before, when the years have gone down, somebody has been out there to repair it, and I've made efforts to contact Mr. Hoffman. No success.
We'll make it.
Can I get
the intersection again?
Yeah.
Newport and
is it the 12 lots over there across from Timber Point School?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
It's the 12 lots.
Yeah.
Any other public comment? Then we'll move to the consent calendar. Your motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Area agency reports, Supervisor Burgess.
Hello, good evening. My name is Alicia Knuckles and I'm with Supervisor Diane Burgess' office, and I just have a few updates for you this evening. Wanted to give some feedback. The supervisor co-hosted a town hall last month in regards to discussing water issues in the tunnels, like California Water Fix. We had a phenomenal showing. It was standing room only, so it was really, really great. I wanted to thank you for that. Supervisor Burgess has also requested and is sponsoring the extension of Vasco Safety Double Fine Zone. So if you don't know what that is, there is a section of a good portion of on the Contra Costa side that if you are going above the speed limit, you will get a double fine in that area. You could confirm that. It expires about every 5 years, and then the county has to request for an extension. They have to do reporting to show why it's important for the double fine zone to stay in effect. And so we brought it to Senator Glazer, and he is in the process of approving it. It's SB 578, if you're interested in looking it up. And as soon as we get it passed and approved, then I will report that as well. Just wanted you to know if it works. And finally, I know we brought up a couple of, with the board, the county is looking at options to have other energy providers besides PG&E, other counties and cities in California, Northern California mostly, have started doing this. We sort of prematurely asked for some feedback, thinking that people had information on it. And found that a lot of the cities knew about it, but the unincorporated area didn't. So we are working quickly to put together a multi-community unincorporated area town hall. I will let you know just as soon as the date, time, and location are set. And then we would love it if you would join us for that to get information. The supervisor is asking for feedback on that so that she can make sure that the decision or the vote that she puts out there represents her district well. And then the final thing I wanted to remind you is next week, April 12th, Wednesday, 6 o'clock here, back in this back room over here, is the Discovery Bay P6 meeting. And you guys are all welcome to come and chat with us. Any questions for me?
Questions for me?
I don't think the double fine zone is effective. So I drive it every day. There's no enforcement. It's a waste.
Okay. I will provide the data.
Brady Moss was running.
I just drove it today. It's pretty scary.
Any other comments? Thank you, Alicia.
Okay.
Next, we have Sheriff's Report.
Good
Good evening, Deputy Ingersoll of the Sheriff's Department. Just to give you guys a heads up, so last month we had approximately 401 reported activity calls in Discovery Bay. Out of those 401 calls to service, we had 40 reports. I'm sorry, that was for the previous month. So this last month, calls for service went up. We had about 560 calls for service with 62 reports taken. The majority looks like if we're still dealing with the identity theft and vandalism. From what I can see, the vandalism kind of spiked when the children were out for their spring break. It just kind of goes hand in hand with the their activities when they're not in school. But yeah, identity theft still trickling in from over the holidays when we had the mail thefts and some of the other petty thefts from vehicles and things like that. So, any questions for the Sheriff's Department?
Just one on the, I know we've, Discovery Bay Community Country Club has the gate, back gate, and there was concern about traffic going by the school. Have you noticed any issues along that Little Lake Road?
So, personally, I work during the week, usually 2 to midnight. I've spoken to the school several times, especially I believe it's Fairview right there, that the walkthrough gate goes from the school, from Little Lake over to Fairview. I've personally set up over there when school's going out, when the school and the children are getting out. There is a higher presence of traffic, but when I'm there, I don't see anything as far as speeding goes or any unsafe acts. I haven't observed it personally, just higher traffic volume.
Thank you.
Is Sheriff Elaine no longer out here in Discovery Bay?
He is not. He's, I believe he's assigned to Los Vaqueros.
To where?
Los Vaqueros.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? I know we have someone from Marine Patrol for the first time here, so enlighten us.
Good evening. My name is Lieutenant Jose Beltran with the Office of the Sheriff's Marine Services Unit. Again, I'm here to reintroduce the Marine Patrol Unit and our Marine Services Unit to the community, and obviously to provide some awareness as to what we do and how we do it. The overall mission of the Marine Patrol Unit is obviously to enforce maritime laws and ordinances and regulations on the waterways of Contra Costa County. We also provide education, boating education, search and rescue, and other services to improve the quality of life in the Delta community and surrounding areas. We've, about a year and a half ago, we went through some staffing issues with the Office of the Sheriff, and Marine Patrol was impacted significantly to where we were reduced to just myself, a sergeant, and part-time deputies. Those deputies are retired, so they made their own schedule. But we were able to come out of this staffing dilemma, and now we've stabilized to where we now have 7 full-time deputies in the Marine Patrol Unit, 4 part-time deputies, 2 sergeants, and myself. We also, I also oversee the air support unit, so there's our helicopter unit and our boats work hand in hand for search and rescue purposes and to patrol the Delta waterways. So what I'm here to do is obviously to get some feedback from board and the community of Fiscal Bay as to what you'd like to see reported on a monthly basis. We'd like to make this a regular visit for us at your meetings. I can always report on crime trends, what activities are coming up on the waterways that would impact Discovery Bay and other areas nearby. I'd like to hear from all of you as to what you'd like to hear reported from the Marine Services side. Really briefly on the stuff that we're seeing in regards to crime, everybody's starting to come back from their winter getaways and coming back to finding a lot of boating equipment stolen from their boats that they have not either been on in a couple years because of the drought and whatnot. So we're starting to get a lot of reports from residents coming back and finding stereo speakers missing, navigation equipment missing from the boats. We've received a couple of those reports from your yacht harbor here, Marina. We have been in contact with the harbor master as to what they can do to make sure that those type of criminal activity can be reduced. The lighting camera, there is very, very little lighting on those in that marina there. And so hopefully they can implement some of those suggestions so that people's property doesn't get stolen. We are getting out of the storms season. We were not impacted as much as San Joaquin County or Yolo County or even Santa Claus were impacted. We did see significant rising water levels in our waterways. The levees held for the most part, unlike out in San Joaquin County where they had to close off a lot of the waterways. The infrastructure within Contra Costa County in regards to the levees did maintain intact. We saw a lot of debris, a lot of sunken boats out there from the rains. But as part of the marine services, we also recover a lot of these boats that become marine debris and haul them away and destroy them. And I think a lot of community members have been benefited from our program of abandoned watercraft and surrender vessel program. A couple of activities coming up. I think Delta Bay, Discover Bay has the triathlon coming up in a few weeks. We will provide a vessel for that just to maintain some type of presence on the during the event. We also have Delta Blitz coming up on May 28th, which is the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. If you're not familiar with Delta Blitz, is we invite pretty much a lot of the maritime agencies in the region, which include Yolo County, Sacramento County, San Joaquin, Stanislaus, Pittsburgh, Richmond. They all come and help us out to patrol the waterways during the busy holidays weekend. So that'll be on May 28th. We will start at about 12 o'clock and we'll be done by 10 o'clock at night. And then obviously we anticipate a heavy, heavy boating season this year because of the water levels. We are seeing many boats out there, recreational boaters out there already when the sun is out. And Ski Beach has been busy already. And we are seeing a lot of boats launching from the marinas. So if there's any questions,
I wonder if it might be possible as your season goes on is to be able to append your enforcement activities to the existing sheriff's report that we get each month, and so we can see what's happening on the water as well as what's happening on the streets.
Okay.
Something to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really like to see crime and safety issues that you encounter on a monthly basis.
One of the things that we've been fortunate about is the level of vessel accidents have gone down significantly in the last 3 years. And I do have to attribute that to our presence and to the cooperation that we've had out there in the waterways from San Joaquin County especially. But we've only had one fatality in 2.5 years. And other areas have multiple fatalities.
In your patrols, I know you go out in the main area where the boats are going a little faster, but we've talked to some residents that brought to my attention that on the west side, back over on behind Newport, those areas down there, that's supposed to be 5 miles an hour, but there's some folks that don't adhere to that. Do you patrol out there periodically?
We do as much as we can. Now, with we are 7 days a week. Right now, we start our shift at 8:30 in the morning, and we finish up at 6:30 in the afternoon. So as of May 1st, we will start patrolling at 12 o'clock and finish up at 10 o'clock at night. We are able to staff 1 to 2 vessels a day on our ship, and we have 250 miles of linear coastline throughout Contra Costa County that we got to patrol from the San Pablo Bay all the way out here. So we try to do whatever we can, but I will pass that on. We spend a lot of time out there. We just have to make that about it.
Yeah, and that's where it should. But if there's some kind of a Well, every now and then crews back up in there. Maybe we can help you by getting some timeframes on them. Absolutely. Some residents and then we pass that along.
Absolutely.
So if you get a vessel ID number, you can call the sheriff and say, I got a speeding. Is that how it works?
We can at least contact them afterwards and say, hey, you've been spotted speeding in the area. We have to see those kind of violations in order to take any action. But at least if we make contact, let them know that nearby the boating community is keeping an eye on them. They'll hopefully be able to subside.
I've noticed also that the Coast Guard's been out there as well. Mm-hmm. Not recently, but in the past. Do you work jointly with the Coast Guard? I mean, how does that relationship work?
Absolutely. We share our waterways with the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard has overall authority of search and rescue activities and pollution environmental impact activities on the water. However, they do not enforce local ordinances or they kind of back off on the state laws. But we do work very hand in hand. I was in a meeting with them this morning. They call us, their response parameters are very limited. Such as if the wind is more than 10 miles per hour, they're hesitant to launch from Rio Vista. If the swells are more than 4 feet, they will not launch from Rio Vista, or we will. If there's something that they cannot respond to, they'll call us and we will.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything else from Sheriff's Office? The Coast Guard's too scared. Moving on to CHP.
More of them sending a message to everybody else. If we won't do that, we shouldn't need them.
Yeah.
Officer Thomas, the California Highway Patrol, the activity we had out here last month in Discovery Bay, we had 7 DUI arrests, 1 arrest for a hit and run collision. Citation wise, there was 26 citations for speed, 6 for miscellaneous other, 8 for registration, 2 for rules of the roadway, 2 for seatbelt, 7 for miscellaneous equipment, and then 8 for improper passing. There was, and there was two citations for stop sign. I did write down the issues that Jerry was talking about that Greg then had. I was out on the street for like 5 minutes, so that's not enough time to really do anything. I was out on Clipper again in Newport. I wrote like 13 tags out there today, and 100% of them were local. Kind of out getting the school hours out there. That's all I have this month. You guys have anything for me or questions or anything? You brought up the double fine zone on Pasco Road. Our captain is aware of that and he's recommending it to get approved again. When I go out to Pasco and work it, did you say?
I commute it every day. It's just really fast.
Yeah, it's fast. I did bring it at one point to do some sort of working tail out there enforcement thing. Those were very effective when we used to do them back in the day.
Yeah.
The double fine zone, I use that when I'm out there. And kind of, I don't use it on every stop. I kind of use it on the circumstances at hand. I mean, if I stop someone, it's that they're not that, you know, tremendous over the speed limit and their record's fairly clean. You know, it's just someone gets a ticket every now and then. I won't use it. If I stop someone and they have a pretty tremendous record and they're not getting it, then yeah, then I'll do that. So, but yeah, you recommend that you continue that. You guys have anything?
Yes. How far out Basco do you guys cover out of Martinez? All the way to almost to Los Vaqueros?
We cover up to the county line.
Okay, almost all the way out there.
Right,
okay.
To the county line. And then Dublin takes over from there.
Gotcha.
Is it reading something that CHP is doing enhanced enforcement on distracted driving? Was that correct, or did I misread that?
They have, I got a mind blank right now, but they'll have days, campaigns where they come out, and they'll do like this month will be distracted driving, next month will be vehicle restraint systems or something like that. But that's what that campaign is.
Any other questions?
Is there a CHP speed sign?
The radar trailer? There is.
Yeah.
It's been out of commission for a little bit. It's finally back in service. So I was just talking to Dave Point yesterday because they were asking about it. So it should hopefully be able to plug it. They're useful. the one out there when I was on Clifford, I want to sit there today. It's a tool to let people know what's up. The more official ones sound a little bit. Yeah. Are you guys, you guys have anything for me here?
No.
Speaking of speed, what is the speed limit?
So we're gonna put cars and wait for a gold star on there.
So when you pass the Sunny Bay West off of the Newport, I hear the motors going since I think it's been that way especially.
Yeah, Bixler Road, you're talking from like.
From the lakes and down.
All the way to the highway?
Yeah.
Okay. It's, there's various speeds. It's all 50 in there, then it drops down like 40 and then 35 once you get over closer to the dock.
But it's 50 officially?
It's 50. It's, yeah, the speed survey's on, it's 50 right there, so. I mean, if you're with the speed survey, if you're going 50, you can look at me, and how you're probably looking. Where you get people at 50, 3 miles an hour, even write a ticket. But if the speed limit is 50 myself, I give a 10 mile an hour. It should be personal. I kind of gauge things about how am I driving on my own and stuff. So, and I see a lot of people, and that's when I'm out here in the 25 zones. If you're 35 or higher, you're going to get a citation. So I kind of give people a 10 mile an hour.
I'm sorry, I didn't know there's 22,
but there's no penalty in the sign. You're
going to
go
up.
On Plenty Timber or on Bixler, there's the 50 sign. It's, so the signs are going to be like if you leave the intersection or turn on the road on the intersection like Plenty Timber, and then you're heading, say, what, or south towards Safeway, instead of the 50 mile an hour sign, right? On your. That was
there's more. I see them. I got
a couple of more. Yeah. No, they're on there.
Okay.
You know.
Just curious,
it
sounds very fast to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'll be done, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Contra Costa County. Discovery Bay Assessment Benefit Assessment?
Yes. They're here. Here she comes.
No, you should. There you go. It goes.
So the purpose of our visit is, first of all, just to follow up on what we began back in 2014. We've been to the board to talk about the area benefit update in 2014 and in 2015. We're hoping to bring it to some conclusion or to a conclusion in the next few months. So we're here to follow up on that and also gain your feedback and your recommendations, because we'll be working with Mr. Weatherburgess in the next few months to bring the update to a conclusion. So what I wanted to do tonight is to spend some time to recap where we've been. It's been 2 years since we were here, and so I really don't expect everyone to remember. I see a lot of familiar faces, but I don't expect everyone to remember what we talked about 2 years ago. So I'll spend some time to recap where we've been, explain where we're headed, and then we can talk about your thoughts and share your feedback that you want to provide to us as well as to Christian Burgess. Okay, so in recapping where we've been, it's pretty good first to just start with what is an AOB. An AOB stands for Area of Benefit, which is the name that Contra Costa County has given to the program we have for assessing traffic mitigation fees to developers. So basically what this is it's a one-time fee that's paid at the time a building permit is pulled before there's any new growth. And the fee is imposed based upon the impact that growth would have on our circulation system. So basically trying to make sure they pay their fair share towards the infrastructure that's going to serve as new trips provided by the growth. And why we want to update this assistance program. But we just want to make sure that the projects on the project list, the fees are all consistent with what the needs are now, not the needs that were back in 1997 when we last updated it, but then it reflects current situation. The presentation we provided back in 2014, we brought with us our traffic consultant that had provided a needs assessment. And at that time, they explained how they had provided model projections of what traffic situation is going to be like by the year 2035. Based on that, based on existing traffic counts and regional planning documents, they provided the board with some recommended projects to be part of this updated program. At that time, the board listened, was very engaged, and you all had a lot of comments and questions. And so we took that, and then we came back and visited again in 2015 to respond to all those questions. And I actually brought copies of the memo that we provided to the board back in 2015. So I thought you might want a little refresher on what the comments and questions were.
Thank you.
So that memo is a detailed list of all the comments, but the general nature of them I've got summarized here. There was a suggestion that the intersection improvements that were listed for Discovery Bay Boulevard and Clifford Drive could possibly be a roundabout. And so we have modified the project list to be general, that there will be intersection improvements allowed in the funding and not specify whether it's a signal, a roundabout, but just leave it open. And that's the way that all the projects are in this program, because it's a very preliminary planning effort. It's intended to provide a potential funding source for the future, but before any project goes forward, there's environmental process, there's community outreach, there's detailed sketches before we even start with construction documents. So everything is basically defined as its intent. The next comment that we got in our previous visit was that we can provide a project on the list for potential future widening on SR 4 to 4 lanes, but that's not going to do any benefit unless you have 4 lanes on the bridge as well. So we added the bridge widening to the project list. We have a request for traffic calming measures, and we've also added a project for traffic calming. Bike lanes needed for students getting to Excelsior Middle School. That was another project added to the list. There was a question about the relationship between the Discovery Bay area benefit and the East County area benefit. And I have a slide here in a minute that I can, picture's worth a thousand words, it should clear that up too. And the last main theme of the comments was that there is a potential high school site on the south side of State Route 4. That should be factored into the trip generation and the analysis that was done. We agreed, and then the consultant went back and revised the analysis. So all in all, the comments that the board provided are reflected in a modification of our project list and items in red. So we tried to listen to what the suggestions were. You guys live here, you drive the roads every day, revise the project list, and at the 2015 meeting when we came back, the board recommended that this is the list to go forward with the Nexus study, which is the next step in our process to update the program. Oh, and as I mentioned, the picture is worth a thousand words. So the yellow shaded area is the East County area benefit. And it includes everything pretty much in East County, with the exception of crosshatched areas, which are excluded from the East County area benefit. And they're excluded because they each have their own local area benefit. And then, as you see, the Discovery Bay boundary, the
program that we're talking about tonight is for just Discovery Bay proper. For Discovery Bay West, they're in the East County area benefit, so they're paying the fees for that area. Okay, so that's a summary of where we've been over the last couple of years. Now to talk about where we're headed. Start with basically where we're at right now. The analysis has been done based on the project list, and I have some preliminary numbers to share with you in a minute on what potential fee rate could be. After that's decided, the rest is pretty much administrative, and it's up to us as staff to work with County Council to prepare an ordinance that would repeal and replace the previous area benefit ordinance. We'll prepare a development program report, which identifies the rate that we choose to implement and why. We'll meet with the Building Industry Association to keep them updated on the changes. And then the last step, which hopefully will happen around July of this year, is to conduct a public hearing of our supervisors where the ordinance would be considered for approval. Okay, so that's pretty much where we've been and where we've headed. Before we ask you for your feedback, there's some really important information I need to provide you, which is the numbers and the results of the Nexus study. So the Nexus study, which our consultant prepared, is based on the project list we discussed. It includes cost estimates for each project, a fair share calculation for what growth is obligated to provide as far as funding for each project. And it's all brought together in a calculated maximum allowable fee that can be imposed. And so all of that is summarized, all that effort is summarized in that one column that's in peach. There are three other columns beside it that I provided numbers for you as reference. But the Nexus study provided by our traffic consultant results in those peach rates, which peach colored column, which is 25,678 per dwelling unit. That's for single family homes. And then it continues for the non-residential with a commercial rate of $36.44 per square foot. Now, just because these were calculated rates, it doesn't mean that those were rates you needed to implement. So that's partly the first column provides the current fee rates that we're at. And as you can see, that the new calculated rates are much, much higher, like 17 times higher than what the current fee rates are. Also provided as reference East County area benefit, because it's what's immediately adjacent to Discovery Bay, as well as Brentwood. Just thought you might want to see some surrounding areas.
Yeah. When was the current rate adopted?
1997. And then also along the bottom, we listed what the regional traffic fee is. Because all of the jurisdictions listed in the columns, Discovery Bay, East County, Brentwood, as well as Oakley and Pittsburgh, they're all required to impose the regional traffic fees, which are listed below. And those are also very high, rated $20,000, a little over $20,000 per single family home. So I'll go back to that slide, but you guys have copies in front of you too. So as far as the decision-making process and the feedback that I'm all ears to hear about, and be able to go back and talk to Supervisor Fergus and come to a conclusion, is we cannot go higher than what the calculated rate is, but we can impose a fee that's something less for reasons such as wanting to encourage certain jobs or services to come to the area, or just for general economic stability and growth. But we have that flexibility to do something less than what the calculated rates are. So, questions.
Is it possible under the calculated fee rate to break that out by project? So
yes.
That we could look at each project and decide which ones are more important or less important, and then perhaps be able to recommend a priority list and determine what the real market tolerance is for such a rate.
There's a couple ways that you can go about imposing the fee to something less. You can eliminate projects and lower the fee that way. But you can also, in order to maintain the flexibility, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen in 20 years. Say maybe a project from that list won't be constructed for another 20 years. It's hard to have a crystal ball and know what's going to happen. So you maintain more flexibility. You can kept a hefty list so that funds are eligible for those locations, and choose to impose something that's less. Now what that means is that we work harder because we're going to be looking for grant funds that would supplement what isn't provided by development. But you have to also be careful to not price yourself out, because if you put it too high, then the funds are never going to come in anyway, because the growth won't be able to occur. And so I know one thing that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's just such a high number. It's
to keep in mind,
you've got a couple million dollars.
That this is just discovery bay proper. And so you probably have a pretty good idea of who it's affecting. Is it the one infill home on the block? Is it a condominium development? Is it a mom and pop shop that's trying to have a gourmet deli? A pizza place, or what types of places are actually going to be affected, because we know that there's not a lot of growth potential left within this everyday farmer.
Well, therein lies the problem. These fees are so out of line with other, I mean, even more than double what Brentwood is, and there's only 90 to 100 lots left in Discovery Bay to be developed. Why is this only encompassing what's considered Old Town Discovery Bay? And why is not the entire area of influence that we have as a town not considered in the AOB? Why do those two maps not overlap? And because that's where the growth is going to be, is out there, not in here.
Let's go back.
The maps not representative.
No.
What should the boundary be?
Well, look at our area of influence. We go all the way out to the Centex homes, and then all the way out to the lakes.
Okay.
What you call Discovery Bay West.
Yeah, the East County Area Benefit, those areas are in what's the East County Area Benefit. A lot of the projects overlap. So there's a list of 23 projects, many that are very similar, and they're still paying towards that fund. And so, for example, very soon there will be, there's a turn pocket proposed at Fire and Byron, so that as people are turning left on the Fire to drop off their kids at school, that you no longer have people trying to shimmy on the right to pass as they're queuing. So they'll actually have a left turn pocket. That project is going to have a contribution partially from East County AOB as well as Discovery.
That's why I think it would be very helpful to look at these projects, not only for the Discovery Bay area that's noted there, but also the related projects that are in other areas, because it looks like some of these projects affect multiple areas, and there need to be contributions from Discovery Bay and also from the East County.
Let me see if I have it with me. Is that
what that means? I'm not asking for it right now, but I think in terms of what a board can even begin to give you, at least speaking for myself, before I can give you a reasoned approach or analysis of this, I sort of need to know how all the parts fit together. And until I have time to do that and kind of let myself cogitate about it, let it marinate a little bit, I'm kind of hesitant to sit here tonight and say, well, this is the way it ought to be, because frankly, I don't know, and I don't think I'm going to know tonight.
How soon is there going to be action taken on this?
We would like to move forward Quentin can go back tomorrow and start preparing the board documents and working with county council. It's a matter of working with Supervisor Burgess as well, because we recognize that the calculated heat rate is very, very high. That's not the intent. Many of traffic mitigation programs select something less than the maximum amount. We just have to go through those steps to calculate it, because legally we can't impose something greater than what the obligation is for us to pay. So you have to go through the steps of the calculation and then go through a process of what can the industry bear and what makes sense.
Well, I get that, but you'll kill commercial building of commercial companies coming in and putting in, filling in our shopping centers and the vacancies we have when you're 900% of what Brentwood is as a fee.
And that is exactly the feedback that I wanted from you tonight. I want to know, how do you feel about that? Do you want to provide a situation that is conducive to allowing more services to come in? Do you want to provide a greater easing of that burden on non-residential or across the board, residential and non-residential?
Explain to me this asterisk here. So all of these fees also include a mandatory regional traffic fee. So of that $25,000, $20,000 of it is a mandatory regional traffic fee?
No. Mm-hmm.
So it's $45,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. We'll have a lot of, those lots will remain empty in Discovery Bay for a good long time. If this.
I'm sorry, maybe I'm not making it clear. I'm not suggesting we impose $45,000. We're coming to the board and asking,
okay,
what do you
think? You can understand,
Mark. Yeah, let me back up a little bit. You're asking us to look at this stuff, and I guess my question or my what I'm asking you is, we need to have this broken down to see what we're considering. Because I don't want to throw a number out there and say, well, you know, Brentwood is X, and so we should be around Brentwood. Well, I don't know what the heck that is. So what I'd like to see is a breakdown of how you got to 25, and then whatever the number is, we can put all the projects in there, whether you can fund it or not, that doesn't make much difference. Because there could be grants that come in for the different part of this, and so forth, but that's not part of the fee. So if we saw that, you know, we have these projects that are out there, and we could look at what sort of, you know, somehow we'll have to divine what a tolerable fee is, and then once that fee is in place, then you sort of work backwards to figure out what's the highest priority and what's a lesser priority. But I don't have that information tonight. I don't know how I'm going to get it to them.
We'll definitely send, and Mr. Davies has a copy of the draft study that's been with the preliminary numbers, but we'll send a copy to
you. Can I make a suggestion? I mean, they're asking us to foresee in the future, which is great, and that's what you're doing. I would like to see, as President Lee mentioned, this is to recap the recommended list for CSD for us here. I would like to see the recommended list from East County that includes all the projects that Discovery Bay West and those properties out there have, so that we could match those together in the funding for that. I might suggest that this is too short of a time frame to even give you good feedback. Could you consider having a workshop, if you will, where we'd have a couple of hours to talk, get the information we're asking for, come back to us and not such a formal procedure, and sit around and talk about these? I think we would be able to supply you a lot better input, because we would have time to absorb what's going on, have time to think about it. I think asking us this evening is a little rough for us. I know you work it on every day.
I totally understand that, and that workshop sounds great.
That's a great idea, and I really appreciate the fact that we can see what is affecting our entire area. We have constituents that aren't included in it, and they use this side of Discovery Bay too. They go launch their boats at the marina. They're not exempt from driving on the same roads that we drive on. And so rather than, I'd like to see how exactly what Bill said. I'd like to see what those projects are too, how they overlap, and then I have a lot of questions that are going to need to be answered that can't be answered tonight.
How would you like to do the workshop? Would you like on the subcommittee, or have everyone attend?
My preference would be to have the entire board, along with some of our staff, and possibly get with staff to figure out a time. But I don't know when.
I think if we could ask you and our general manager to get together, okay. We're got your availability. General manager will have our availabilities, and we'll pick a time that works for everybody that will be sufficient to go through that information. And I think you've gotten some feedback here tonight about what we'd be looking at, and then we could have probably a more productive discussion.
Maybe just to start the discussion, you could possibly have it prior to one of our meetings, or whatever you want to do, a weekend.
No, but an off Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, sounds great. Good to see you again.
Thank you for your time, though. Appreciate that. Word shot.
Yeah, well, just don't come away with the idea that this woman's thinking we're going to collect $45,000 for every home.
We know for that. Thank you. Yes, quick question.
I have a quick question. Thank you for allowing me. Amongst the project that you've mentioned for East County, is opening up of that Santa Creek Road in there to get to that hospital from here? I am fighting tooth and nail myself personally, because I have personal reason to do that. But getting around to that hospital has become extremely burdensome. And it's the only part that's usually that Antioch portion and bypass partnership.
Well, you know what, that isn't within the Discover Bay boundary, but if you want to talk about it, I mean, we work throughout the entire unincorporated area, so I can talk to you about that.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, I don't see any liaison reports. Moving on to business and action items, we need to open a public hearing on resolution number 2017-07 to form the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. Mr. Gentleman.
Yes, the state of California enacted the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which, in essence, requires agencies that share groundwater basins work together to ensure future water sustainability through the implementation of a groundwater sustainability plan. Discovery Bay, along with the City of Antioch, City of Brentwood, Byron Bethany Irrigation District, Contra Costa Water District, Contra Costa County, Diablo Water District, and East Contra Costa Irrigation District share a portion of the Tracy Subbasin in East Contra Costa County. Each agency will become a groundwater sustainability agency, or GSA, then enter into an MOU agreeing to work together in the development of a groundwater sustainability plan. Tonight is a properly noticed public hearing on Discovery Bay's formation as a GSA. If we do not form a GSA, the state could step in and manage the groundwater at our expense. Staff recommends that the board pass a resolution to form a GSA and authorize the general manager to execute the MOU on behalf of the district. And I have Katie here along with me to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, then I will open the public hearing. Is there any public comment on this matter? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and go back to board discussion. Director Graves.
On page 3 of 17, line 65, parties to become GSA, it says each party except Contra Costa Water District agrees to take this necessary action. Why is Contra Costa Water District not participating in this?
All of Contra Costa Water District's service areas overlap with other agencies. So in order to have those boundary overlaps resolved, which is what's required for DWR, they decided to go ahead and let the other agencies be the GSA, but they're all going to work cooperatively to form that MOU for the groundwater sustainability plan.
Thank you very much. But when I see some of the exempt, I kind of want to know what they're thinking, different than what we're thinking. But that makes perfect sense. Thank you, Dave, for that. You might want to stay there.
Any other questions?
There was something else.
So, in reading all the documents, which is a lot for me, is there any reason we would not want to become a GSA? Any outstanding thoughts on that?
We foresee none. We think this is a great opportunity for us to maintain control of groundwater use in Discovery Bay boundaries, and we do not want the state to step in, so we want to take action early.
And sharing costs with the other agency.
The Tracy Basin being mostly out in the Central Valley, has been, is rated as a what? It has issues.
Yes.
With sustainability. By forming this GSA and then being part of a larger organization, does that separate us from being hit by the same restrictions, rules, and or state mandates that would be given to the Tracy Basin? Can I say that right?
Our sub-basin is defined as medium priority, which gives us a little additional time, so we have, rather than having to have the GSP ready by 2020, we get until 2022. We're still in the process of trying to separate entirely our basin from the major sub-basin, we had a representative from DWR came to our last meeting and said that 2018 they plan on doing another round of boundary separation, so we'll try to get in on that one to actually be separated. But there was an issue with each individual water system that uses groundwater has to receive approval from that, and there's some 80-odd small systems, so we have to actually go out and receive affirmation from each of those.
In our area?
Well, that would be affected by the sub-basin.
Okay.
So it's just a lot of legwork that we didn't have time to get done prior to the last submission.
And these are small irrigation districts off on islands and stuff like that?
It could be a lot of, mini-mart somewhere, or a tiny, where there's two users on a single loan. And
I'm with you.
Tiny things, yeah.
There's a number of small water companies out there that serve, like she said, two houses, a mini-mart, and a grocery store.
Okay, what was it? We are a medium what?
A medium priority basin.
And what is the entire Tracy Basin rated at?
I'm not sure.
Something less than that or greater than that, if you want to look at it, correct?
Yeah, more critical.
More critical, that would be the way to state it.
More critical would be the right way to say it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any questions? Anybody hear a motion?
So moved staff recommendation.
Second.
The move and seconded to adopt the appropriate resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item number two, discussion and possible action related to replacement of the Roberta Fuss top block play structure. Mr. General Manager.
Yes, I'd like to invite our lighting and landscape manager, Brian Miller.
Good evening. Hey, Mark. Present you with a proposal to replace the Roberta Fuss top lock structure. In 2015, we experienced a gas outage with PG&E, and consequently, we provided PG&E with a command center, our community center. And in early 2016, Rick Howard, who was the general manager at that time, and myself, negotiated with PG&E to not only compensate us for the use of the community center, but provide us with a grant to do a project in Discovery Bay. And the project was picked out at that time to do removal and replacement of the Roberta Fuss play structure. It's over 20 years old. It's the oldest play structure we have. And it's in dire straits to be replaced. Are we ready to go up here?
Yes.
While they're working on that, do you have a usage factor at all? How many families, how active is it for?
What's a useful life?
About 15 years, really, but it depends on a lot of factors. The age of
I don't remember there being all that park behind it. I thought there was a wall.
Did she
back
turn
there.
It off?
And a creek. That's what she's saying to me.
She turned off.
Yeah, that came with the wall. So.
Exactly. Came with the picture frame, right?
But anyway, it depends on the age group. Some of the play structures, this one in particular is top lot. It's for ages 2 to 5. I'm going to flip through and show you the condition. As you can see, the rubber coating on the play structure is worn. The color coating is worn. The structure itself is in pretty bad shape. The top lot needs some additional work on it.
I'll carry on. One of the other items I'd like to do, it's not in this project, but possibly in the regular budget for Zone A, is replace the picnic table too. It's in pretty bad shape. You can't really see it there. But as you can see, the structure's pretty old. If you want to go out and take a look at it, it's in really bad shape. It's not to the point where it's going to fall over, but it is at the point of replacement. It is used for, in that neighborhood a lot, by the families. I've had several inquiries. John Baldwin came up with the design. I had several bids on it, but he was the low bidder for this particular project. The parameters on the project are, one, the space that's available for the actual play structure, and two, the budget. So that was the two determining factors for this particular play structure. As you can see, it's mainly for young kids, 2 to 5 years old. It has some shade available for it, which the other structure doesn't have. And the color palette is in this picture right here. So it blends with the other structures that are there, kind of with the theme on our sign, and kind of blends with the community. The funding for the structure comes from the PGD grant, and then the cost for installation, removal and installation, will come out of the PGD funding from the water, wastewater project. So it's all funded by PGD.
There you go. That's what I was waiting to hear.
Yeah. There's no impact on our funds.
Brian, what's the timing on this, assuming that it gets approved tonight?
Assuming that it's approved tonight, I'm hoping to have it up and running by July.
Great.
One question on it. I read through here, maybe I missed it, on the bark or whatever surface is that going to be replaced also?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
It's going to be bark again. To do a rubber surface, it would have been another $35,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, Brian, on the current lot right now, if the picture you showed has a shade area over the picnic table?
Yes, it does.
I do not see that in the new plan. Is it going to remain?
Yeah, the new plan just involves a play area.
Got it.
But that is going to remain.
Okay. And it's important for the parents that need a little shade because it gets a little warm.
Yes, it does.
Any other questions for Brian? Any public comment? Hearing none. Any board discussion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any other further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And item number 3, discussion and possible action regarding an opt-out alternative to the installation of smart meters. General Manager.
Currently, the town does not provide for an opt-out alternative to the smart water meter installation program. If an opt-out alternative were provided, it would mean replacing a smart water meter with either an analog alternative or doing our current installation without the transmitter. In both scenarios, it would require manual reading, the associated costs of which would be passed on to the customer. At the regular Water and Wastewater Standing Committee meeting of March 16, 2017, the opt-out alternative was discussed and considered. The committee concluded that offering the opt-out alternative adds logistic burdens for the district, and there are no known confirmed health issues directly attributable to smart meters. The committee recommends against providing an opt-out alternative.
Questions for the general manager? Any public comment? Closed public comment.
Interesting.
Board discussion?
Move staff recommendation?
No.
Or move committee recommendation?
Yeah. Kevin and I were on that committee, and we thoroughly discussed this a lot, so we concur with staff that we can't possibly make this happen.
Any further discussion?
Not logically.
Correct.
No. So I would like to make a motion that we do not offer a opt-out at this point in time.
Is there a second?
A second.
or period, I should say.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to item number four is discussion of possible actions regarding a letter to Senator Blazer concerning East Contra Costa Fire Protection District funding.
At the last regular board meeting, the board reconsidered its prior position concerning the allocation of ad valorem property tax revenues to cure funding inequities for the East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District. The letter before you for your consideration is worded to represent the board's current position on the issue. If approved by the board, the letter will be signed by President Lee and will be sent to Senator Blazer with copies sent to other interested parties.
Is there any public comment or discussion?
Yes, I was surprised when I heard that Assemblyman Frazier has a proposal getting reallocating some funds from East Bay Parks. I agree with this letter to kind of rescind our formal endorsement of et cetera, but I would also like to have the board consider somehow of getting behind or giving support to Assemblyman Frazier's concept in his assembly bill, and maybe along with this modify this particular letter to add that, so that I know the senator doesn't vote with the assembly, but maybe he could take up the same issue. Not quite sure how that process works in the assembly itself, but I'd like to see what the rest of the board thinks about the endorsement from Frazier about taking some funds from East Bay Parks.
Director Grace.
First of all, there's some real legality issues that are going to come forward. I would prefer at this point just to move forward with what we currently have and wait and see where that goes, because I personally am not in favor of what he's saying. I don't know if everybody has had an opportunity to analyze it, discuss it, and look at what share of costs. You know, I want to state for one thing, you know, East Bay Regional Parks District put $200,000 into this community center. And we're already subsidized to the tune of about $6 million by other regions through East Bay Regional Parks District for East Contra Costa County. To ask them to put up another $10 million, which is what Assemblyman Frazier is proposing, first of all, again, I think there's some questions with regards to the legality of it. And secondly, I personally am not in favor of that, so I would not like to include this in this because I think we're bringing in a secondary issue.
I tend to agree with Director Graves on the fact, with the concern that if we were to modify this 3 months or 6 months down the stream, we're liable to be retracting that letter.
I like the letter as drafted. Looking at the information that was sent out today with regard to Assemblyman Frazier's placeholder bill, there really isn't any language in it yet. So until we know what that language is, I'm kind of hesitant to be going off in support of something very specific, a specific bill that may take a left turn on us and may not do exactly what we're looking for. So I kind of like the letter that's here now. It's very generic. It says we want to get this solved. We all want to work together and get this thing done. As the project moves forward, as this, whatever this bill is, or whatever other bills or efforts might be started either by Assemblyman Frazier, by Senator Blazer, or someone else, is that we can chime in at that time with more specific comments, with specific support, oppose, amend letters to the various legislators to see, you know, how we can move forward with a solution that meets the needs of East Contra Costa Fire. I guess it sort of saddens me a little bit that we have to go to Sacramento to solve a local problem, but if that's the way it has to be, then, you know, I think the most important thing is to solve the financial issues of East Contra Costa Fire.
I have no problem with that at all. I support the rest of the board in this letter as it is. I just wanted to bring it up. I think that East Bay Regional Parks has two distinct parts. One is the operations, the service, the rangers, and all that kind of thing, keeping the parks up here. The other is property acquisition. And they've acquired so much property to date that none of it in our life, a lot of it in our lifetime is not going to be utilized as a public park, and that's fine. You always have to buy it for the future, you know, great-great-grandkids will use it. But I think out of their land acquisition side of the house, I'm certainly that there's probably some funding available. But I agree. I would let's wait and see what comes forward, and we'll make some decisions at that time.
And I agree with thank you for saying it better than I did, President Lee. I want to make sure that I'm clear that I am open to something that's more specific. But at this point, it is just a placeholder bill, so it's just kind of an idea that's being floated. And so I appreciate that. I you know, when you look at $194 million budget, I'm kind of with you, Bill. It's kind of like, really? So there are funds out there, and maybe that is or isn't the right place to find them, but we do have to resolve this problem.
I agree. We should move forward with the letter and the discussion, and I think we'll get specific systems as the changes happen here. So I think we should move forward as well. I think that is a motion. I'll make that motion. Do I hear a second?
I would make a second. I just want to take a minute to thank Rod for writing that letter and rewriting what I put down and make sure that it sounded good and was good to move forward. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
So a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. Next item is discussion and possible action related to district board member regional representation.
At the regular board meeting on January 18, 2017, the matter of board member participation at regional committee meetings was tabled for a future meeting. Well, this is the future meeting. It's now being brought back for your discussion and possible action.
Okay, let me, I think that was the one that, that brought this up, so let me start the discussion. And I think what I'd like to see resolved tonight is come up with a consensus of the board as to how to proceed, and then direct legal counsel to put that into the appropriate format in our policies and procedures, and then bring it back at the next meeting for official adoption. My discussion back in January, I believe it was to perhaps sort of refocus the board's efforts to Discovery Bay, to bring it back to just sort of a laser focus on the latent powers of the Discovery Bay Community Services District here. And by doing that, we developed five committees that meet on various things that are very, very directly related to the latent powers of the town of Discovery Bay. With regard to the regional representation, there was a good comment that was made back then that we do need to have the ability of directors to speak before other agencies on behalf of the town of Discovery Bay. And you know, thinking that through a little bit more carefully, I tend to agree with that, with the knowledge that, you know, any of us can attend any meeting and get up and speak as individual members. I think when any of us get up and speak on behalf of the board, we better have had a discussion here so that, you know, we really are speaking on behalf of a majority of the board. So, you know, with that in mind, my sort of thought as to moving forward was if someone is particularly interested in being sort of a nominated, not so much a representative, but someone that is sort of empowered by the board to, you know, go to these meetings and bring back the information, perhaps guide this board through how we might, as a full board, bring back information to some of these other agencies and organizations and speak on behalf of that board, that perhaps we do that. And so that's sort of my thinking now. I know there's a lot of little details we probably could discuss, and hopefully that will come through this, you know, discussion this evening.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that we do need definitely to be focused on Discovery Bay. I don't disagree that we shouldn't have some representation, and I think there'll be some items that come up where it's important that the board discuss that. The board decides, yes, we need to go and have a representative speak officially on our behalf, yes. And I agree that if that's the case, just like our committees, then remuneration for attending that, because it would be an authorized board function, should take place. But I don't agree with going to different regional meetings that we're not asked for participation and things, and having a stipend for those. I think that the stipends that we have for our committees are adequate, unless the board officially sends someone on to an official mission, and then certainly the stipend and mileage and all that should be taken care of.
Other comments, ideas, suggestions?
Well, since I have this senior tenure on this board, and I was on this board with members that had been on the board since its inception, my knowledge and my experience with regards to the history of this board is probably a little more in depth than the rest of the members on the board. And when the CSD was formed, prior to the CSD, we were the Discovery Bay MAC. We were a municipal advisory council to the board of directors. When the articles of us becoming a CSD were written and agreed to by the board of supervisors, we were tasked with continuing to be an advisory committee to the board of supervisors with regards to things that affected us here in East County. By making this an optional volunteer, you can go if you want to go situation, and abandoning the policy that's been in place since the CSD was became an entity, we are neglecting that responsibility to the Board of Supervisors. If we are not being represented as a district in regional meetings that affect what we're doing, everything from transportation to fire to schools, all of those things, then we're neglecting the duty that we were tasked with. And as part of what's in, you know, this is a big change. This is not just rewrite a simple part of what our responsibilities are. And I think it neglects it. First of all, I think it negates an opportunity for us to be involved. I'm pretty sure that nobody here knows what Brentwood's latest proposal is for the fire department, and how it's going to be funded, and how it's going to affect us, and what's going to happen before the board changes its, you know. And that happens to be my passion, as you all know, is the fire district. I've been on that board participated in that board for 9 years. And it was a major discussion that occurred on Monday night there. We had residents of Discovery Bay get up and give their opinion on what was going on, tasked the board with certain things. And I think that that's the same thing that happens when we go to a school district meeting, and we are affected by what's happening with our students, whether it be anything from, you know, I haven't attended those meetings in a long time, but they were valuable. I'm very confused and baffled as to why we want to minimize our effectiveness within our region, and why we feel that it's none of our business. Why we should be so focused that happens within here that somebody else makes decisions that affects us. We do have very limited latent powers. Therefore, those decisions that occur in meetings in the region around us, whether it be, again, extension of Highway 4. Well, wait, why don't we widen that bridge before we put another freeway through? Maybe not a good example, maybe a good example, but the only one that comes to mind right now. I don't know why, I don't understand the importance of that change. And I'm completely opposed to it, because I think that it negates our responsibilities that we've been given.
Yeah, I totally agree too that it does negate our responsibilities. It was very clear when this group was organized and put together as how we're going to perform and provide the feedback and be vigilant about what's going on that affects outside and inside of our community here. So I think if it comes down to a stipend issue, which it appears to be, Mr. President, I don't think that's a big issue. I don't think that's the problem. I think that it's we're disregarding our duties and responsibilities to stay informed in the community, and our board's is trying to disengage from us, so I don't agree.
Yeah, I I don't think there's a disengagement at all. You've been attending the school district, you can still attend, not a problem. Kevin, you've been to the fire district, you can still attend. The airport, wherever, you can still attend. No problem whatsoever. The thing that I haven't seen in the time I've been on this board, and what I'll just use the airport as an example. You've reported back that you've gone here and there, et cetera. As this board goes, I don't recall ever a discussion with this board and stating that, yes, we need to support X or Y at the airport, whatever the airport item was. So it's not that we're negating our duties at all. I think that we need to be prudent with our resources that we have, that are limited. And I don't think that going to regional areas, unless it's authorized by the board, needs to be paid a stipend, and the rest of it, anybody can go, or you can be our representative if you'd like on those. I have no problem with that. We'll take a vote this evening and keep the regional representatives as stated. Just eliminate stipend, we'd still be doing the same thing.
So I can change.
Well, give me a chance, Bill.
Well, I'm relatively new, but I'm kind of caught between both these issues, you know, the left and the right. I do believe that we have a bigger responsibility than just Discovery Bay. In my first couple of months, I've tried to attend as many meetings as I possibly could to see the value. I had attended one with you, President Lee, out in Martinez, I believe. And my assumption after that meeting was it didn't need me there. I understood the meeting, and I understood the need for us to be there on occasion, maybe a routine. I also attended the P6 meeting and believe that representation there is critical. They have a fair amount of money, but I think they really need to see us, need support to finalize issues that they have, or projects, or thoughts, direction for that money. So I'm kind of caught between them twigs. I think there's a number of regional meetings that are on there, and here's a recommendation. Instead of taking an etch-a-sketch and wiping them all off, maybe we go through each of those and see the critical ones, and see if there are some that need to have the sponsorship of us on a routine basis. Then I'm going to go back and say one more thing on what Director Pease had said. For 2 years, I sat in the audience listening to the reports from each of the folks. And when it came time to report on their meeting, I know we have to send it into the office, what we've got. I heard very little. So I know that people went to them, but I didn't hear the value coming back out to the residents. And I was a resident at that time. And if we do, in fact, look at some of these as necessary to go to be a representative from CSD, I would say that a report not just to the office, but also to the residents of the value of that meeting and the direction we're going to take with the order.
And I appreciate that, Director Mayor. The reason for going is not to come back to report. The reason for going is to represent the interests of the town in the region. So that's the primary reason. But I do understand what you're saying about, you know, let's try to disseminate that information better. But I'm a little bit kind of like, so somehow this came back from responsibilities of the town to dollars and cents. So if this is about stipends, why did we create thousands of dollars of extra money to the town where we're collecting stipends to have meetings here in another layer of bureaucracy? If we're so concerned about the budget, why was that proposed by the same two individuals that are now having a problem with continuing to represent our district fairly within our neighbors? I didn't know that that's what it was about, dollars and cents, because that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm baffled by that, and I don't know. I don't have anything more to say. I'm shocked that it came up in conversation here.
So you just mentioned that you don't have any problem with the dollars and cents of it, so you're agreeing with the proposal this evening, correct?
I think I made my point clear, Director Pease, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. That's not what we're here to do, is argue with each other. I made my point. Please don't try to change what I said.
Okay, move things forward. Let me put a motion out on the table that we maintain the current regional assignments, appointments. We'll have to fill in the blanks of where we have blanks in here, or maybe some people would like to, you know, to shuffle around a bit. And I would suggest that we do that at the next meeting, so people can kind of give some thought as to it. So that we would maintain these committees. However, the only compensation would be for board-directed attendance at these particular meetings where a Town of Discovery Day presentation is to be made.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes. Say that again.
Is that we maintain the existing regional committee or regional assignment list that's noted on page 79 of the agenda tonight. That ordinary, if you choose to go to these meetings and report back or whatever, that be done without compensation. That there be compensation should this board, by a majority vote, send a representative there to advocate on behalf of the Town of Discovery Bay on an issue.
Question then would be, can the board look at a specific meeting, regional meeting, that should be ongoing? I don't know that there are any, and it may be that we review it and say there aren't any, but at that point, can the board vote to authorize it for ongoing?
The board can amend the policy at any time the board chooses to amend the policy.
Okay.
I don't understand how the board would know in advance what direction the subject discussion would go at a meeting that who has that crystal ball that would know whether or not something needs to be said to represent the board at that meeting?
We receive the agendas of each of these meetings. If an item is going to be discussed at that meeting, we'll have a publicly noticed Brown Act agenda. And at that time, it can come to the board and determine whether we have a position on that and what position should be advocated.
And you know as well as I do that those can fall in between meetings, and that's just patronizing. It's not even doesn't even make sense. The agendas don't come out coinciding with our meetings, so you can't make that allegation.
I think it's important to maintain assignments for each of us to delegate that load. So that we are we're vigilant on each of these groups. And I think that the board direction, we should keep the assignments and be a presence in all of these activities and meetings. And I don't see a problem. I think the stipend, it's a board directive. I think we should be compensated for it.
Any other comments? Okay, there's a motion on the table.
I'll second that motion.
There was a second already.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Motion passes 3-2, so this will come back into the next board meeting, and we will have the wording on the new bylaws, and we will make selections of the director appointed and the alternate for each of these organizations.
And if I could just add, we review each of the meetings to see if there's any need for an ongoing that clause.
Okay. Moving on to item G.
We're taking that as direction. That was not part of the motion.
I know.
That was part of the discussion. We can always come back and amend.
Yes, but he's asking for direction for us to do something which was not part of the motion. So I don't have direction to bring that back with that item in it.
Did you restate your?
Well, we've already made.
We would like that clause in there. Make another motion.
I don't understand.
We don't have that discussion. We don't need to direct staff to bring that back. We can bring that up at our next meeting. We'll be discussing assignments, and we can have the discussion on is there a specific. Right. One that we need to do, and we can get deep into it at that time.
I was going to say, because I heard your comment as being if there is a meeting, Chamber of Commerce, that we think we need to have, or this board thinks they need to have permanent representation, that you would receive a stipend for that.
That's correct.
That is not part of the motion, and that is not included. The motion as I heard it And what we're bringing back is changes to your policy that, one, maintain the current structure with filling in the gaps, so the people that want to be on committees or want to be on the regional representation side of it and represent the Discovery Bay for those entities will be maintained, and those are going to be voted on and acted on here. And there is no stipend for any of those unless this board directs a particular board member, I assume it's going to be the same one that's otherwise representing that entity, is directed by this board to present on behalf of Discovery Bay at that regional meeting.
Yes, and my intent of my comment, the intent of my comment was to say, if we look at that, and to Director Graves' point, if we don't have a synchronization of the meeting, the Brown Act meeting minutes, agenda, and time to vote on that as a board, if we look at a particular meeting, take the ECC FPD, if we said we wanted representation there, whether it be presentation or not, but let's assume it's presentation, and we voted on that as an ongoing, that they would get the stipend ongoing.
I can bring it back with the motion as I stated it, and then as you're going through the committees and as you're going through, I don't want to keep saying committees, as you're going regional through the regional assignment, if you find someone, I would suggest, and we'll make sure the agenda allows you to be able to make a motion to ask for that one to be fully stipend. Okay?
You can modify your draft. Thank you.
You can modify the draft to include that each Contra Costa is a stipend item.
So I have a question then. Does this affect, shouldn't this affect the stipend policy? Because we have a policy that says, that states what a stipend should be. This is an exclusionary part of that policy then? Is that what this is?
It's an exclusion to your internal policy. It's also an exclusion to what state law allows you to receive stipends as an elected official. So we're going to have to modify both. We need to think about it and go back and look at all those documents and figure out what we're going to be modifying. But we're going to have several things to modify. We've got the committee section of the bylaws. We've got a stipend policy, and we've got state law that allows you to make a claim for stipends for days of service. And we're getting rid of. We understand we're getting rid of that. We got it. We'll bring something back, and it'll be clear as mud for you.
Manager's report, global update on special project PG&E, Parks and Landscape.
We're currently in the permit process for our pool shed. I hope to wrap that up on Friday with the county. They added in a couple of stipulations about ADA access, and we're working on that anyway, but every time we permit a project with the county, they're going to require us to do an additional 20% on top of that project towards ADA improvements to the facility.
Let me understand this. We're going to get a permit for a shed.
Correct.
Is the ADA portion you're talking about specific to that shed, like having access to it?
No, it's not.
It's a county mandated item onto our community center.
It's actually part of Title 24 accessibility. It's a state program.
For what?
We're not compliant here in a lot of ways. So we're going to start working towards being compliant. Make it publicly
mandated. But is it mandated that we get a permit to do that for this district to get a permit to do that construction?
Yes. Yeah. Anything over 160 square feet on a shed needs to be permitted. I do have a list of projects you can do without permits, but it's very small.
So what is it that the county is advising us to
add a shed back there?
An ADD for the pool and a
shed down and walkway to the pool.
Right now, you have to
have
three
steps. 20%.
We have a permit for the ADD.
20%.
Yeah, so it actually works out okay for us. We're going
to do it together.
That doesn't sound right.
To get our final inspection, that has to be done too.
Approximately how much extra was
The game is here.
This is supposed to be just a report. This is turning into a debate and a discussion.
On the proper hardware for accessibility. The concrete work, we actually got approval last year to do almost $15,000 worth of concrete work here, and part of it is accessibility improvements. And that project was shelved by Catherine Kutsuris at the time, I don't know why. So we're going to go back, I'm going to bring the little bitty contractor back, walk through the project.
Spend the funds to have it.
It was under $10,000.
I can bring it back for approval at that point, so you know.
Now he's saying he's bringing it back for approval.
The funding's already been set aside, so we have the funding there.
Yeah, it's all out of PGD funding.
Yeah, I personally don't need to see it come back. We've got to do that to get a permit from the county. We've got the funding to do that. I don't need to see it.
Under $10,000.
How much is, what's the dollar amount on it?
Concrete work is 15, but I can.
No, no.
Oh, on the shed itself?
Yeah.
The shed itself is a little under 6,000. And we budgeted 56,000 for both sheds. So.
What's the square footage on the shed?
It's 12 by 16, so 160, a little under 200 square feet.
So we're just a few square feet over.
Correct, but we need the additional room because there's a sump in there for the pool backwashing. And that's an existing, it's tied into the sewer line.
I'm not sure that's ADA.
It takes up space. And also we use the back wall for our movie nights. So we need the size.
Okay, the single size, the single shed. I'm not trying to cheat the system, but if you put in a less than 160 square foot shed, but the secondary shed housing other equipment that doesn't have to be in that, you do not have that added expense.
Well, we still need to do it.
Yeah.
We still need to do the concrete. We need to be accessible.
That's correct. The pool still needs to be accessible. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Any questions for Brian?
Yeah, a couple other things. Regatta Park, we had 6 large trees blow down during the storms. One did minor damage. We also had a tree tear up the sewer line on the residence. So the county is working with their office to come up with a tree replacement program over time to remove the large trees and put in medium-sized trees to avoid some of the problems over there. That's all county money, so we don't have to work. They're going to work with the residences that are on the perimeter of the project. Slipper Park, the steel fabrication's done and coated, so that should be shipping soon. So I'm hoping they'll get started. I'm hoping they'll finish before Memorial Day, but I haven't heard that from them. In theory, they're supposed to do the project in the same window, but it's taken a year and a half to get through their own system and permitting.
Report over $1,000
for this point. But you have to hire someone to get through that.
So when I looked at frequently asked questions on it,
it's a little bit more difficult dealing with the county than it is for most
cities.
I spent 2.5 hours out there last week, kind of building a relationship so that when we send contractors in, they'll know that we're not going to be compliant and, you know, everything's, you know, above board for them. So trying to build a relationship that we don't really have right now. And it's working. They did cut us a lot of slack, so it could have been a lot tougher than they were. Appreciate you approving the tot lot project. That goes a long way for the small kids here. Ravenswood Park. The park seems to have a lot of vandalism for some reason. The play structure over there, I'm going to try to replace some of the panels on it, but at some point in time, we may have to remove and replace that structure. The park is lit, but the play structure isn't. It's an open park. A lot of neighbors close by, but no one seems to guess who that is in there. And for some reason, that park gets hit a lot. So we're going to do some repairs on it. I'm hoping I can replace panels so that we don't have to replace the whole project. But they carve into the plastic, so it's not something we can remove.
Do you feel that added lighting at some point down the road might help at all?
Yeah, it would help.
Maybe we could put that on, that's the county again.
It's amazing how many people have cameras. That's our park. That's still mine. It's amazing how many people have cameras around town and it doesn't pick up.
Maybe we could work with the finance committee and get some kind of a CIP number put in for lighting.
And one last item is the split rail fencing at Cornell Park. I would like to bring it into committee and possibly replace that in two phases so that we can stay within our budget.
We just like it.
We could, but it would be a great place to get donuts.
Speaking of Cornell Park, Ryan, how's the turf and the field, Gerald Weedon Field over there? How's that condition this spring?
It's actually improving. One of the items that we're bringing in for budget discussion is equipment for the turf renovation type work for us that we can have. That would go along with it.
And how's animal control coming along with our leash ordinances and enforcements and stuff? Our animal control, thank you.
Hey, Brian, thank you too for straightening the lights out on the entrance there at Discovery Bay.
Sure, yeah. That's something else they want to address as a permanent lighting solution.
Sure, I know that's the right way, but you address it up a little much more. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Anything else for the manager's report?
Virgil, did you have an update on the issues with the 90 degrees?
Yeah. On the water meter project, we had some minor hiccups that we didn't foresee on some of them. If you remember, in January, we had what we call a galvanized bushing that was placed. This is our curb stop, so you bring your water from the main to here. It's just what's in the water meter box. And then from here, you put your meter on or the customer's connection going to their home. And in this thread area, some plumbers in the past have put a galvanized bushing here. But the soil conditions, it has rusted. And when you rust the metal, it generally expands. So in essence, you couldn't remove this. So if we can't remove this, we then have to go back to the street, shut down the street, cut this off, put a new one on, and then take it from here and go to the house. And so this set us back on a few homes in January. We did them on the golf course, if you remember right. And then just today, at the end of the day, what we normally do is we walk the next 40 to 50 homes. We plan to do tomorrow or part of the next day. And today we found about 14 of these on the next phase two, which we're in, that have a bushing, galvanized bushing that has solidified this, meaning that we now have to slow down, give notice to the homeowners, shut down that street, cut these and replace these. And this takes a little bit more time to do these as we go along. The other issue that we had is once you put the meter on here, we have to then come back out a little further, then dive down, and then go to the house plumbing. But generally today, the way it is, without the meter, right about here, we put an elbow, go down, we have to cut that, bring it back up, and come in. The 90s that we use, the elbow, was a schedule 80. And when you put that onto metal thread, sometimes you thread it on too tight and it splits the PVC Schedule 8. Schedule 80 is a pretty tough material, but nevertheless, you make it too tight. We had a rash over last Friday. We put in off of a Spinnaker. We apparently had a lot of bad 90s in there because Monday, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, we got leaks that were happening in that area. So we had to bring out the crews, minimal crew, to replace those. So that's where we're at. Any questions?
Where do we stand? Do we know a percentage of completion overall project?
Right now, we probably have about just a little over 800 that are completed right now. So 800 out of 3,500.
And do we know where we are financially on the budget in comparison?
I'm actually going to give an update next.
Okay. Thank you, Virgil.
Thank you. Anything else with manager's report?
General manager's report.
Yes, he's asking for it.
Okay, next is director's reports and standing committee reports.
Yes. Communications committee met last week. Had a good, we discussed our website and how we're utilizing that. We did a discussion with our vendor that we use on that. It went well. Director Mayer and I also are looking at our sign, our digital sign plans, and staff's got some good information for us, but we're making some good progress. It's pretty steady.
Absolutely. We actually had a digital deployment. I hope I said that's our webmaster, you might say. We had them come down from Sacramento and give us a presentation, and we found a lot of features that weren't there before. One of those that I'd like to highlight, we don't have to show it necessarily. On our website, there is a new feature that's been added under the search. If you look at the end, there's not a lot here, but I know a couple, Phil, you're gonna take this. But upper right side, just under search, is another one that's called, if you want to call it up while I'm talking here, that'd be great. And it takes in, what do you want to see? I can't remember. It's a pull-down table, and the top feature in that, there it is, I would like to. And if you click on that, and there's other places, you're going to get this sign up for email updates. This is revolutionary compared to what we've had in the past. Instead of sending snail mail out, it costs a lot of dollars. We can send out an email blast to those that sign up. So let's take the meter program, as it was a hot issue and a lot of people wanted to know it. We can then direct them there, and any issues that we update onto that website, Virgil's included, we can then send it out as a blast, and it comes across very cleanly with the Discovery Bay letterhead, community letterhead, and it will inform the residents of any updates that we want to give. We're given real time, and if there's any errors that are made, it can be corrected to everybody all at once. I think it's a major improvement. We just now have to figure out how to advertise that to our residents. In addition, as Director Steele said, we are looking at a sign. We'll look at the location of the sign, but it's a ticker board sign, much more professional than the construction grade that we've had out in front, would be another way. We are also looking at improving the Facebook. Facebook is a means of communications. What we don't want to do, when we asked our legal counsel what the idea, what the thought was on next door, there was a chagrin at the very least. That starts a two-way conversation, which probably nobody will ever end that conversation. I see with the lost dog, it goes on for 2 weeks, even though the dog's been found. So if we can find Facebook, which is a one-way communication potentially, then we have another means. So we aren't just bound by one fix. We're trying to make sure we have multiple ideas here to get the community updated on a routine basis. Very, very big on transparency to make sure.
Any other committee reports? Moving on, I just had one thing I forgot to mention before. The general manager and I attended the East County Code Enforcement meeting. With regard to Discovery Bay, there was a couple of items. We had a property, somebody was kind of a hoarder of stuff all over the place that code enforcement's working with. We have a resident who likes their next door neighbor's empty lot for storage and trash. And then we have an issue with, how should I say it, objectionable signage in their front yard that we'll get resolved. Interesting meeting. Now, general manager report.
Okay, so hopefully this is going to be some good news that I bring to the board. SDRMA is our town insurer, and when we take a proactive approach to reducing liability claims, loss prevention, safety precautions, and reduction in workers' comp claims, we earn credits towards our annual premium rate. This includes staff and board members' participation in SDRMA workshops and CSDA training programs. And this year, we earned $12,929 discount off our premium. So I thought that was pretty remarkable, and I wanted to bring that to you.
What percentage of that?
Good.
That would be, I'm looking about 8%.
Yeah, not bad.
Absolutely.
Nice.
That concludes my presentation.
Nothing but good news.
Glory
going out on a good note.
Okay, we have no correspondence.
You hired a smart one.
Any future agenda items?
Didn't we have correspondence regarding the proposed zoning change behind Safeway? Was that considered correspondence for the self-storage property?
It was correspondence, but you had all received it. Okay. It was all sent to you, so we didn't add it to the agenda.
Okay. Future agenda items? Hearing none. Move to closed session. Council?
Thank you. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session per the agenda listed as item N1.
Okay. Closed session, legal counsel.
Thank you. Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors has adjourned from closed session, reconvened in open session, and has no reportable action.
We'll hear a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.